This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world with work deadlines and horrible bosses.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
And your team may be in last place. We can all find comfort in sports, like a signal in the sky.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
They call upon Gwen and Chris with Tony Gwynn Jr.
He probably thinks it's ridiculous that you people think he...
I said you people.
What do you mean, you
people? Yeah, what do you mean, you people? What do you mean? Who are you, Don Cherry?
And Chris Ello.
I just had lunch with Larry Rothschild.
Oh, is that where you were?
Yeah, and he was running late, so.
Gwen and Chris starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
First half of the show in the books. 5:04 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. We are here at Cathedral High School waiting for another playoff. I feel like we're here like every other week. That's just
because they're good.
I was about to say that's a testament to how good this program is. Carlsbad Lancers taking on Cathedral Catholic here tonight. Joining us now, no other than Coach Sean Doyle. Coach, how you doing today?
Fantastic.
Thanks. Good to see you again. I mean,
good
I feel like we were here that too long ago. We had a nice luau out in front of us last time.
Yeah.
No luau this time, but we got you here.
Yep, no luau. We can't do those every week.
No luau. It's a playoff game, man. They got to focus.
So here we are again, you guys making another deep playoff run, a home game here against Carlsbad. What type of game are you expecting tonight?
You know, it's going to be good. When you get to the semifinals of the open division, you're going to have a good football team you're going against, and Carlsbad does a great job. They got a ton of returners from last year's team. You know, we got them last year pretty decently, and I'm sure they're ready to not let that happen again.
Right.
So we're just going to lay it out on the field like you do in the playoffs and see what happens.
I just want to tell everybody that I am totally fallen out of favor in Coach Sean Doyle's eyes, and it's understandable. He took one look at my splint and asked what happened to my thumb. And I was, you know.
He was reluctantly.
I had to tell him that I ruptured a tendon in my thumb, shaking out my toothbrush, and I immediately fell out of favor with the football coach.
That's all right. That's what age does to us.
Thank you for understanding, Coach. I appreciate that. I do.
I got to make sure to be careful next time I'm shaking my toothbrush out.
Yes. Either that, yeah, exactly. Or don't use your writing hand to brush your teeth, because I can't write anything. Anyway. You talked about last year you got these guys in this, it was a similar spot, if I'm not mistaken. It was a semifinal.
Yep, exact same game.
So same game, same spot, same two teams. Do you have to guard against them being, you know, a little bit pumped up, or do you play revenge at all, or play against revenge, or no?
We've never done that. We never will. It's a totally different team, different kids on our side and their side. You know, this is about us playing the best game that we can, like we try every single week. Obviously, last game we didn't do that, and we got it handed to us. So our kids, I think, are going to be a little bit more focused and ready to go than we were last couple weeks ago.
Now, Coach, you guys are going in this game not at 100%. You guys' starting quarterback will miss tonight's game. Your backup will be gone. Tell us a little bit about that situation and who's filling that backup role.
So Charlie Meyer, our sophomore, came up at the end of the first half of the Saints game when DJ went down and broke his collarbone, had to have surgery, so he'll miss the rest of the year. Charlie did a great job just getting us down the field and doing what we needed to do to come back and win that game. I thought he played well last week again, you know, in that role. We just put the ball on the ground too many times and had too many stupid penalties and stuff that will kill you against anybody. So he's done a great job managing the offense now this week, getting ready for this game. And he's a smart kid. you know, when your dad's been in the NFL, plays for Notre
Dame. He's got some pedigree, yeah.
Yeah, you got a little bit of intelligence about you. So I think he's ready to go.
Yeah, if you didn't catch the name, Charlie Meyer is the son of Rick Meyer, the former Notre Dame quarterback, and he'll be playing tonight for Cathedral. Coach, how do you do it every year? How do you keep this going like this? I mean, this is you have to be very proud of just you and your coaches and your whole organization. I'm sure the school behind you. You can't just do this all by yourself single year to be in this position.
Not at all. It really starts from our freshman staff. Man, I am blessed. You know, I think I said this last time. My two freshman main coaches have been here 15 years. My JV coach is 12, 13 years. And when you have that kind of sustainability on those lower levels, you just know the kids are coming up knowing what they need to do. I don't even need to oversee it. And our off season's unbelievable. I have a strength guy that's been with us for 16 years now, and he gets the kids ready. We go at 6 in the morning. When this is done this year, we'll start January 7th or 8th, whatever, the first day of school back, 6 in the morning every day from then until we start football next August, all through the summer, and the kids buy into it, get there, and work hard, and it pays off.
What's your secret, though? Because, I mean, usually if you put a staff together that's been this good for this long a time,
somebody's
getting a job somewhere else. How is it that you're able to keep that continuity and keep these guys here?
You know, I think I'm getting so old, they think I'm going to be gone every year. they're hanging on.
There you go.
One more year, we got it. One more.
We'll get them out of here soon enough.
You know what? A lot of them are alum, so they just love being here. They love what we do. I'm not a micromanaging coach. I let all of my offensive guys, you know, I run the offense. They all have input, and I'm very open to it. I don't even look and see what our defensive guy is doing anymore. Right. Coach Montelli does such an unbelievable job. And I think because they have such responsibility, and they know they do, and it's real responsibility. And I think that's what keeps them around, and they enjoy it. We have great kids and great families, and we have fun together. You know, it's
that's special.
Yeah.
Do you talk to your team about what happened in that NFL game last night? I mean, kids are very impressionable. I don't expect anybody ever at the high school level to do anything like that.
I sure hope.
Nor would I even insinuate that something like that would ever happen in high school football. But do you ever talk to your kids and say, hey, that's a good example of how we got to maintain our poise, et cetera?
At all times.
We haven't going into this because, you know, it happened last night, and we have a dinner before the night before every game. So we were at a parent's house last night, all the kids and stuff. We had already left that dinner by the time that it went down, and then it's game day. We're not going to focus on that, but it'll be something that comes up in films tomorrow or Monday or at some point in time. We'll bring it up. Just how, again, important it is to remain composed. It doesn't matter what happens or what you perceived happened to you. It's got to go to the next play.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One question before we let you get out of here, Coach. We know you got to start getting prepared. Just give us a little rundown on the guys that you're looking to highlight on the other side of the football that you feel like you have to pay attention to tonight.
Well, defensively, you know, they were in the paper the other day. Their linebackers, I think, do a great job. They got a great corner in number 5, who also plays wide out for them. And just across the board, they're very similar to us. They play hard-nosed football. They get to the ball. They're very well coached. And then offensively, like I said, I really don't pay attention to what our defense is doing.
You told us that.
Running scout team, I know they run counter tray well, and they throw the ball pretty well. And they got a great receiver in number 5. So those are the things that we have to stop. If we just take care of our jobs and not try to be superstars, I think we're going to be fine.
Terrific. Coach,
good coaches all say that. Do your job.
Do your job.
Every
clearly you got your kids doing their job. You guys are in this game tonight. Good luck, and thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having us out here again as well, Coach.
Thank you guys for being here and everything you do all the time. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Coach Sean Doyle, Cathedral Catholic High School head coach, as they get ready to take on the Lancers tonight. Just a terrific guy to have on here.
He's great.
Chop some shop about football.
I felt a little funny about asking about the last night thing. I don't want anybody ever thinking of making a comparison. I mean, I high school referee. We all know that.
I think we know what you're getting at.
But I just when you see something like that happen in an NFL game, you worry that somewhere down the road, some kids somewhere may see that and think that that's not that it's okay. But kids are impressionable.
Well, he did say it will be addressed. It's just not today, not the right time, because it is game day. But they will hear about it. All right, we're going to step away, take a break. When we come back, Coach's Lolita's High School Spotlight.
All right.
Will be next.
And no Football Friday can be a Football Friday without the coach, John Quintero, who is set to join us for our Friday night Lolita's High School Spotlight, brought to you by Lolita's Mexican Food, serving San Diego's best Mexican since 1984. Coach, I know you're on your way here to Cathedral High School. Get ready for this great Cathedral Carlsbad game tonight. This is when it all gets exciting, man, the high school football playoffs, right?
Oh, no question about it, Chris. We got the game tonight, and then next Friday night we'll have a semifinal in one of the other divisions, and then Saturday night Braden and I will go down to Southwestern for the open division title game, and then the following week, the day after Thanksgiving on that Friday night, we'll have the Division II championship game, and Saturday night we'll have Division I. So we've got about five games here coming up, so we're pretty excited because we're seeing some pretty good football right now.
Coach, I know for a fact the kind of homework you and Braden both do for these games. Give us some inside info on both of these two teams tonight.
Well, both these teams are really good, and they both had real good years. I know Cathedral Catholic dropped that last game of the year to Lincoln. There were a lot of weird things that went on in that ball game. They coughed it up quite a bit. They had their young sophomore quarterback, Charlie Myers, starting because DJ Ralph got beat up and broke his collarbone in that St. Augustine game. But, you know, I think Cathedral is going to be ready to roll tonight. Last year they played Carlsbad, and we carried it on 97.3, the fan.
Same game, yeah.
And it was a 35-0. It was on November 9th of last year, 35-0. And that game was pretty bad, and Carlsbad got pushed around. But Carlsbad's a different football team. You know, we saw them against Torrey Pines, and Torrey Pines scored the first touchdown, and then Carlsbad rolled off 42 in a row. They got, I think, as good of receivers there is in the county, a kid by the name of Cole Wright. I know there are a couple of Pac-12 schools looking at him. He's a wide receiver, really, really good hand, shifty, runs good routes, also plays in the secondary. They got a running back by the name of DJ Young, who now we're starting to hear more about because Noah Vella, who actually won a Lolita's Award earlier in the year, he's out the remainder of the year with a foot injury. So we got some really good players. We got two really good coaches. And, you know, the only loss that Carlsbad had was actually out of a team out of Los Angeles. They got beat by Lawndale early in the year. They play a lot of teams from outside the area. But
I pitched a two-hit shutout at Lawndale one time when I was in high school. God bless
well,
you for bringing it up, Coach. Atta boy.
You probably have that ball on your mantle to this day.
I still have the ball. I don't know why I just remembered that, but thank you for bringing up Lawndale.
Hey, the only thing I can guarantee in this game tonight, you're going to have two teams go at it full bore. They're both know one another. This is the third straight year they've played against one another. And I 100% guarantee there's not going to be one player on this team that's going to pull off a guy's helmet and hit the guy in the head with it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that we can count on that for sure, Coach. And, you know, high school football to me still, we talk about it every year about this time, but it's the last place you can still watch football and you know, not be worried about the paychecks and the money and the potential little scandals going on behind the scenes. It's still just the game itself and the kids and the coaches and, you know, nobody getting rich, but everybody's just having a good time and everybody getting rich in terms of, you know, the experience.
Well, very well said, and I think we all can relate to playing high school sports, you know, whether it's baseball or football, basketball or whatever. But, you know, football's a little bit different. And I had the opportunity to play high school football, and the things that I got out of high school football were so different than playing even college basketball or college baseball. I mean, it's just a different element. And you talk about, you know, you get fired up, you start on Monday. Some teams, their coaches start on Sunday. They're looking at tape, and you go through practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You have the walkthrough on Thursday, and you just continue to build and build, and all the anticipation, the excitement on campus on Friday morning. And then you go out there and put your heart and soul into it. And at the end of the night, whether you win or lose, you know, you've got the jubilation of winning, and you got the disappointment of losing. And that all comes into play as an athlete. And we're going to see everybody fired up prior to game time. We're going to see a lot of sourpuss faces after this game. We're also going to see a lot of happy faces. I mean, that's what Friday night high school football is all about.
No doubt about it, Coach. All right, give us your Lolita's High School Spotlight today.
Okay, this week's Lolita Student Athletes of the Week. Going back to Torrey Pines, another one of their big volleyball stars. They've had just an incredible year. They won the Open Division title last Saturday night at Cathedral against Cathedral. They swept them in three straight sets, 25-19, 25-23, 26-24. And this young lady, her name, and she's a senior, Maya Satchel, she had 10 kills in that match. And they're rolling. They're in the second round of state. I think they're in the semifinals. I think it's tomorrow night of the Southern California Regional. Torrey's only lost two matches all year. I think they're 35-2 right now. But Maya Satchel gets this week's award on the girls' side, the volleyball player from Torrey. And by the way, that's Torrey's fifth Open Division title in the last 6 years. Now, I want you guys to listen about this young man. His name is Todd Beezer. He's from Christian High School. He's a football player. This guy was like the modern-day Jim Thorpe last Friday night. He had plays on both sides of the ball. He had a pass reception for a touchdown. He had an interception in the ball game. He had a pair of sacks, and then he also caught a two-point conversion in Christian's 24-21 win over Otay Ranch last Friday night. So that's pretty good. You catch a touchdown, you catch a two-point conversion, you have a couple of sacks, and you also intercept the ball. So, you know, he's probably big man on campus when he showed up on Monday.
Kick a couple field goals and the kid's into really got something.
Yeah, absolutely. So congratulations to Todd Beezer, football player at Christian, and Maya Satchel, the great volleyball player at Torrey Pines.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate it. Every Friday, chatting with you about high school sports. Obviously, you are the king of high school sports in San Diego. And we'll look forward to seeing you when you arrive with your throne here at Cathedral High for the broadcast of tonight's game. Look forward to hanging out in the booth for a little while and watching the game with you tonight. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Oh, that'll be great. That'll be great. Hey, guys, thanks, and I'll see you soon. And keep up the good work. I'll be listening on the way up.
There he is, indeed. The coach, John Quintero, right there with our high school report, brought to you by Lolita's Mexican Food, serving San Diego's best Mexican food since 1984 with seven locations in town. That's Lolita's Mexican Food, and
well,
it is dandy.
It looks like Mason Rudolph has decided not to go down the road of pressing charges.
Well, that's a good road to go down, I think.
Yeah,
I mean, there might be some people out there say, you know, that was assault, it was this, it was that. Keep it on the field. I mean, keep that out of there's sports and then there's life.
Yeah, because, you know, honestly, once you open up that box.
Yeah, there's no going back.
There's no going back, and that's the tough part.
That is, and number one, and number two, if you're Mason Rudolph and you're playing football and you're the one guy that does something like this, you're in a locker room with a bunch of other teammates, too, who would probably frown on you doing something
like
this.
I would assume so. I really would.
All right, interesting. Obviously, last night was the big deal, the Cleveland Browns, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the brawl for it all. But it's not the only time something crazy like this has happened in the world of sports. When Tony and I come back, it's our countdown today. The five craziest and greatest sports brawls. When we come back, you're going to probably a few of them you forgot about.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll run them down for you when we come back. So Gwen and Chris continues. After the bottom of the hour timeout, you are enjoying San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris, 533 on the Dow. Tony, Gwen Jr. Say my own name here.
It's one thing to mess my name up, but your own name?
Toby Gwen Jr.
Toby Gwen Jr., Chris Zello, Matt Scraby, Thomas Andrews. Although he's not here, he's here in spirit. You
of
missed out on some delicious tacos that we got from one of the stands here.
One of the vendors here. My goodness, fantastic.
I think it was Tijuana Tacos was the name of the place.
I love them.
Delicious. All right, Scraby. We got ourselves a countdown here, huh?
We do, and we also have a sponsor for the countdown now.
Oh,
going
the
forward,
sponsor is blowing up.
That's great.
The countdown is brought to you by
Valvoline Instant Oil Change Center here in San Diego.
All right, Valvoline, thanks for joining the program. We appreciate that. And
Thanks for the love.
We will give you a great countdown today. It is having everything to do with last night's crazy brawl in Cleveland. Today, the top five crazy brawls in sports history.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, counting them down, the top five crazy brawls in sports history. Thomas.
Number five.
There it is.
See, he's waiting for me to jump in there first so he can get me.
Howdy do.
I did not fall for it that time, Thomas. All right, I hope that my friend, and I will always call him a great friend of mine, Jason Quartermanch, is not listening right now. And I know that this is supposed to be the greatest five sports brawls in the history. Believe me when I tell you, this was one of the greatest sports brawls in history. And when I tell you what happened at the end, you'll understand why. But I don't know what year it was, but it was my second or third year announcing Gulls hockey. And they were playing in Fresno against the Fresno Falcons.
What a name.
Yeah, and I know the rest of these things are all going to be stuff you probably remember, but this is one I had to share. They got into a brawl, nasty situation on the ice. A couple of Gulls players walked from the ice. There was a walkway that led back to the locker room into the tunnel, and as they were being kicked out of the game and walking, two Fresno players that were not playing in the game were sitting in the stands, came out of the stands, and started fighting with these guys off the ice. So they are having a fight off the ice. That led to a fight on the ice. That led to the coaches fighting. That led to the goalies fighting with each other. It led to an unbelievable melee. All the while, Jason Quartermanch, a Gulls defenseman, was showering in the visiting locker room because he himself had been kicked out of the game earlier. He hears this commotion and comes running out
butt naked
in just his towel. And he starts swinging and he's throwing punches, and then he lost the towel.
There's no way you can fight holding on to a towel.
No, he can't hold on to a towel. And Jason Quartermanch was such a team guy that he was going to stick up for his guys even if he was swinging in the breeze.
He gave his team all of himself.
He gave it all. And everyone in the whole Fresno Arena could see the poor guy out there swinging, throwing punches. Anyway, I just thought that was hilarious. It's my number five crazy sports
brawl. I'm going to give you a number five that I was actually involved
okay.
in.
Okay, all right.
Playing for my first ever brawl in Huntsville, Alabama, playing for the Huntsville Stars. We're actually playing against the Padres AA team.
Okay.
I'm on first base. Prince Fielder is up at the plate. I don't remember the pitcher's first name, but I know his last name was Rojas. He let one go above Prince's head. This was a trying year for us young guys. I mean, my first full season in pro ball, Prince's second full season. We've skipped high A ball. We've gone from low A to double A. So we're all trying to find ourselves right now. So as you can imagine, there's some intensity to this. So the ball goes over his head, and not these exact words, but he basically told him, "Hey man, get the ball over the plate." Not in those exact words, but
"Hey man, would you please throw the ball over the plate,
sir? Will you please?"
The response from Rojas was not so kindly. Get back in the box. Let's play some baseball.
Ooh.
Prince didn't take too kindly to that. He comes charging out. I'm on first base. Mind you, this is my first ever brawl.
Oh, boy.
I'm trying to figure out who's coming from where so I don't get blindsided.
Where do I go?
I get to the mound as these two square off. The pitcher throws a punch, and I promise you, Prince puts his hand just on his shoulder and stops all momentum of the punch, tackles him. Nick Trezniak, who's a catcher, is hanging on, is jumping on Prince Fielder's back. I'm trying to pull it off. It was a complete melee out there. I was scared, I'm not going to lie. I had no idea who was going to...
Because you don't know who could jump on you with...
At any point in time, anything. You could get hit and not even know where it was coming from. Fortunately, everybody was safe. I think that pitcher messed up his shoulder in that particular fight.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, that was my first
but
ever
But did everybody
brawl.
Keep their clothes on?
Everybody had their clothes on. There was a few ripped jerseys with some buttons, with some buttons missing. Right.
Before we get to Chris's number four, that reminds me of the time that Prince Fielder did the thing against the Giants where he jumped on the plate and everybody fell, and that caused a little bit of a controversy.
Well, I can tell you, I can finish that for you. They would go into spring training. Barry Zito, of all people, would be the one that hits him in the leg. And
with his, like, 70-mile-an-hour fastball?
Prince picks the ball up and just kind of kindly flips it back to him, like, here you go. Later on that night, because we would run into Matt Cain at this charity event
Matt
Cain. Night. And it was the most uncomfortable 5 minutes.
Really?
Prince has an ability to make you really uncomfortable because he has no filter when it comes to when he's angry. So Matt Cain walks in the building. You know, he's trying to say hello. Prince is having none of it. And it's just that uncomfortableness that happens at that point.
All right.
Number four.
All right, my number four is one that brings a laugh to my face, a smile to my face, and a laugh to my mind. 1998, Miami Heat, New York Knicks playoff.
Jeff Van Gundy.
Jeff Van Gundy, that's right. I didn't even have to say it.
I don't remember
this. I think about this every time this fight comes up.
This is one of the funniest things you've ever seen. If you haven't seen it, go YouTube it. 1998, Heat and Knicks in the playoffs. During Game 5 of the series, huge fight went down after a scuffle late in the game between center Alonzo Mourning and Knicks guard Larry Johnson. Both benches, including Knicks coach Jeff Van Gundy, stormed the court. The fight did not include any actual fights, but both teams did get feisty, and one very memorable event took place. Van Gundy jumped and hung on to Alonzo Mourning's leg. And Alonzo Mourning was walking around the court with the Knicks coach hanging off of his leg.
He was literally trying to flick him off.
He could not get him off of his leg. He was like a dog in heat. Jeff Van Gundy attacking Alonzo Mourning.
Oh, my gosh, look at his hair, too.
Oh, it's the funniest thing you've ever seen. Wait till he gets the leg.
YouTube it,
it
folks,
is
if you're listening.
So funny.
I'll go put
Alonzo
this...
Mourning cannot get Jeff Van Gundy off of his leg.
I will go put
it
this on
great,
our...
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
On our Twitter, at 97.3TheFanSD. This is amazing.
And, of course, that's right. Everybody knows Jeff Van Gundy now as a broadcaster.
Right.
Wait till you see him in this clip because you won't recognize him.
It was hilarious.
But it was funny.
My number four goes back to 2011. This is one that I had to be reminded about when I read it. Georgetown went out to face the Bay Military Rockets. This is this is out in Asia. I mean, they're in China. I'm sorry. And with about 9 minutes and 32 seconds, and the score tied at 64 apiece, there was a loose ball, and the game had been chippy pretty much all game long. But there is a shove, and it turned into a full-out fisticuffs. At one point, one of the Bay E players pushed Ahoya's Aaron Bowen to the ground, and while sitting on the sophomore guard is just giving him one-twos.
Really? Giving him the business?
Giving him the business. And eventually, John Thompson will pull his team off. They're getting pelted by water bottles. Chairs are being thrown at this point. They ask for a police escort. They don't get it. Fortunately, they made it back to their hotel safe and out of that country safely. But they certainly won't be going back there for a while to
Georgetown
play.
Will not be invited.
No, I assume not.
All right.
Number three.
All right, number three is not a very smart idea. Frank Francisco of the Texas Rangers, a relief pitcher, sitting down the first base line where the bullpen was located in Oakland, got into it with the fans. The fans started yelling, he said, racial slurs at him. So Francisco raced up into the stands and threw a folding chair at the audience aggressor, whose name was Craig Bueno. He missed Craig.
Craig
but
Good?
Ended, sorry?
Craig Good?
Yeah.
Yeah, Craig Good. Craig Bueno or Bueno. He missed Craig, but he ended up hitting Jennifer Bueno, who was Craig's fiance, with the folding chair. It was a really ugly incident. Obviously, Major League Baseball had a black eye for a few days on that one. You got to be crazy to go into a stands. I mean, that's one, and I mean, it goes back to the Artest thing, but that's you now against 50,000
people.
And Frank Francisco, a Texas Ranger reliever, did that. And but again, we forget. You know, I mean, until I brought it up, you probably hadn't thought about it.
Hadn't
in
thought
15,
about it a long time.
Years.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. Was this four?
Three.
Three. My number three takes place in 2010, and this was a one-on-one matchup. I remember this very well. Andre Johnson, Courtland Finnegan in Houston. They had been going at it all game long. And in the fourth quarter, obviously, in football, most things happen on blocking plays. And Andre Johnson, who runs about 6'3", 225, compared to Courtland Finnegan, who was 5'10", I think like 185, 188 pounds, something like that. They rip each other's helmet off. Then three haymakers come from Andre Johnson. He's literally on top. The whole time, though, although Andre was the bigger man and was probably winning the fight, the entire time, Courtland Finnegan is laughing this whole time. So it was only irritating Andre Johnson even more.
Yeah.
They would break it up, and a few years later, when Courtland Finnegan would retire, he would simply respond, "I'm retiring." Andre Johnson hits like a you know what,
and left it at the altar. All right. Moving on. Number two. You'll remember this one too, Tony. 2003, New York Yankees versus the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park. One of the most shocking results of the brawl in this particular edition of Yankee Red Sox rivalry was when Red Sox pitcher Pedro Martinez decked 72-year-old Yankee bench coach Don Zimmer, who, in all fairness, charged Pedro Martinez. Pedro had to defend himself. This was the climax of fights between these two rivals. Later in the game, two Yankees players ended up attacked a Boston Red Sox groundskeeper.
What?
Out in the bullpen.
I kind
of remember that.
I remember that.
Obviously, tempers have always flared, but no one will ever forget Pedro Martinez flinging Don Zimmer to the ground.
Is that when Pedro kind of olayed him?
He grabbed him like your auntie would grab you by your face.
And then threw him.
And then, Zimmer was kind of an old man at that point.
72 years old.
His weight was already going forward. He just kind of helped him down at that point.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And
Pedro.
Not on my list, but 2 years later would be the A-Rod Veritek. He tried to.
Oh, Veritek.
I think he realized how big A-Rod was at this point. He was trying to, dump him, but he couldn't get him up, and it just turned into a pushing face thing right
there.
There
was no karate kick there?
No.
How about we throw in real quick, because I know this isn't going to make your list of the top two, but in the same vein, how about Nolan Ryan just uncorking
Robin
punches
Ventura
on the head of Robin Ventura? Did you ever
see
that one?
I always thought, Nolan must have had hands of steel. You're
tired. He hit him in the top
of the
head.
It's like the hardest part of the head, and he hit him six times.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Number two for me. It's got to be the Padres, Atlanta Braves, just absolute melee at 84.
The greatest melee of all time.
It lasted literally the entire game.
The whole game.
Fans were involved. I just remember Ed Whitson got kicked out early. I remember him with a gold chain, no shirt on.
He was almost naked. He was pulling a Jason Korda match.
It was the first time I realized my dad might actually be kind of strong. He suplexed somebody in that fight. It was just a melee, and every time the Padres go to Atlanta, those clubhouse guys have that video running in the clubhouse. And
is that right?
It's a must-see attraction for every Padre that's ever gone there.
That was an all-time fight. That was an all-time fight. If you've never seen it,
it's never ending.
It's hard to call up a clip on YouTube
right,
because it was the whole game. Because the Padres were throwing
Pasquale Perez.
Starting in the first inning, and every time he came to bat for the whole game, they finally hit him in the eighth inning. By that time, half the team had already been kicked out of the game.
The thing was, it had happened earlier here in San Diego. He was hitting guys. So they threw at him, missed him, but he wasn't continuing the pitch. He was plunking guys and when it was his turn to throw the ball.
Right.
So it just kept the thing
going.
Went
on and on and on.
Joe Torre was actually the manager for the Braves at that point.
All right, this is unfortunate, but this is what I'm going to go with as my number one all-time crazy brawl. It was a one-on-zero.
It was Rudy.
Yeah. Kermit Washington against Rudy Tomjanovich. I'll never forget it as a kid. If you've never seen the video, be warned a little bit.
It's not your typical
brawl. Rudy Tomjanovich was a great player for the Houston Rockets back in the day. Ended up coaching the Rockets to two championships in the mid-90s, but as a player, he was an all-star. Kermit Washington was a power forward with the Los Angeles Lakers, and it started out as a pushing, shoving type match, and Kermit Washington was engaged with somebody, and Rudy Tomjanovich came in from behind, and he comes in, and Kermit Washington sees him out of the corner of his eye and just turns around and unloads probably the most devastating punch
I've ever seen in
any sport, including boxing.
He didn't have a chance.
Poor Rudy Tomjanovich was just laid out, unconscious. He broke his... He broke his face is what he did.
Man.
I mean, Rudy Tomjanovich never played again in the NBA after that punch.
That's where you file charts.
There's a whole book on the whole thing, how it changed both guys' lives,
really?
And how they ended up becoming friends.
Kermit Washington was a good player.
Was a good player and a good guy.
Yeah,
he wasn't a dirty player. He wasn't like Rodman or somebody like that going off. But it was one of those moments, like a Myles Garrett type of moment last night, where he would just saw red. And he saw this guy, Tomjanovich, was just trying to break up the fight.
But he was sprinting.
And so Kermit just saw him out of the corner of his eye. And as you see in that video, he just turned and he hit him with one of the most incredible punches. It's scary and shocking to see.
Yeah,
so
there's no padding on those
hands.
No,
be warned if you do want to look that one up. But that would go number one for me.
Number one for me, it can't be anything other than the Malice at the Palace. I mean, as I told you guys, I was in the Fall League sitting there watching the game from beginning to end. Remember, this was the year that the Pacers were supposed to be pushing for a finals run. This was the team.
Yeah.
And how this thing started, it's ironic because Ron Artest, who had been a hothead up until this point, fouls Ben Wallace late. Ben Wallace gives him one of the ultimate shoves that sends him to the floor. And instead of retaliating, Ron Artest goes and lays down on the scorer's table.
That's what he did.
That's what was supposed to be the de-escalation, only to have a beer or soda cup come flying out of his
hand. I think it was a soda cup.
Hit him in the face, and the old Ron returned. He went up in the stands, followed by Steve and Jack. And they proceeded to put hands on some people out there.
They found the fan that threw it.
Oh, yeah. No, the interesting thing is in that Ron Artest biography.
And they punched him, right?
Oh, yeah. They punched the wrong guy.
Oh, they punched the wrong guy.
Wrong guy.
That's right. The guy who threw it got out of there unscathed.
And the interesting thing about it, when you watch Ron Artest's new biography that we talked about. It was so good.
You can still watch it, by the way, on Showtime On Demand, and I highly recommend it.
He actually has a relationship with the guy that hit him, to the detriment of his relationship with Jermaine O'Neal, his teammate, who was suspended in that game and never got a chance at another title look ever. And there's some guys who are quite bitter about it when you watch that biography on Ron Artest. But it's by far, at least in my lifetime, one of the craziest things
That's
I've ever
one of
seen
the
in
craziest
sports.
Ones.
Can I give an honorable mention?
Sure.
Deion and Andre Rison. Yeah. When they started punching each other with their helmets on.
Yeah.
That was a great one. You don't remember this one? No. Where they fight on the field down here in the corner. Like they just go at each other.
Just get tangled up.
And then they start punching each other, and I will never understand.
What made that so good though was the very next play, after everything settled, Deion picks it and goes 99
no way.
Yards.
He did. Next play?
And high step from like the 30-yard line all the way, talking to the Atlanta Falcons sideline the entire way down.
Yeah. That is
a mic drop right
that
there.
That is what Deion can do better than anybody. He can do it better than anybody. All right, I hope you enjoyed our countdown tonight. Be safe out there. Maintain your poise when you're playing. But hopefully we had some fun counting down those crazy moments.
All right, what you got for me?
We got to close out with our new sponsor.
Our close.
My fault?
Yeah.
The countdown is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers with 29 locations to serve you. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for the location nearest you. All right. We got a few more minutes before we head to break. Chris, are you going to hang around for the game tonight?
I may watch a quarter or so. Yeah, I want to see the start of this game. See how it shakes out.
Little high school game day here on Friday night. The Carlsbad Lancers taking on Cathedral Catholic Dons. Should be a terrific game. Cathedral ranked 10 in California. Carlsbad ranked 24 in California. These two teams met up at the same exact spot in the same exact semifinal game last year.
Yep.
Cathedral would walk away with a relatively easy victory.
I'll tell you, the other reason I'm going to stay for the game is because I like to sit in the press box with Braden and the coach, John Cantera, because when the coach, John Cantera, is calling a game, he looks like John Madden. He's jumping up and down. He's waving his arms all over the place. He is a show in himself watching while he's broadcasting. So I look forward to watching the coach, John Cantera, broadcast tonight's game.
I gotta tell you, share this with you guys. One of the first gentlemen I got to work with in TV was a guy by the name of John Hartung. He does the Spectrum Sports LA up for the Dodgers. He just sent me a text. His daughter goes to San Diego State, so he's driving down. He says, I'm driving down to SDSU game and laughing my bleep off. This segment you guys are doing right now, Best Brawls, is great radio. So,
oh, good. We
picked a good one, John. Thank you for listening, brother.
Thanks for coming down tonight, John. The Aztecs got to win that game.
Yes, they do.
Fresno State, Aztecs, this is it. I mean, the Aztecs obviously blew their opportunity. I don't want to say blew it. I mean, they're 7-2. I mean, I'm not going to be disappointed in that, but they are out of any chance to go to what we were dreaming
right,
about.
Our dream goal.
Right, our dream goal of the Cotton Bowl. But they still can win the Mountain West title, but in order to do that, they have to win tonight. If not, Fresno State will take it.
Can I give one more honorable mention?
Of course.
This one happened this year. You guys remember Ramir Garrett took on the entire Pittsburgh Pirates dugout?
Oh yeah, he went a little. He saw red.
That's a good one.
He went over there all by his lonesome and held his own for the most part. Poor Crick got kind of. He took the brunt of that. That bull that came over to their
that's a
to their
great
dugout.
One. I forgot about that one.
But just now, just to recap the countdown, and I'm not going to recap all of them. Nothing quite beats Jason Quartermanch coming out and throwing punches in the naked.
No.
I think Jason Quartermanch may have him.
Anybody who is willing to show up butt naked is he gets the title.
He was awesome.
How do guys continue to fight at that point?
They're hockey players. Because they're hockey players, Tony. That's what they do.
Hey, I'm like, hey, I'm good. This isn't that serious, guys.
I will tell you that I had a cassette tape of me calling that brawl, and I had it for many, many years. I don't know if I still have it, and I don't know even if I found it, if anybody could.
Yeah, no,
could
I
you
could
do
definitely,
something with
yes,
that?
Find that tape.
If I find it, I will bring it and let you, because I honestly, when Jason came out, was broadcasting, but I started laughing so hard that I could no longer broadcast, and it was just a crack-up fest for the next 10 minutes.
I thought you were going to pull a Kevin Harlan. The man is in a towel. He is in a towel.
The cat is at the 5.
Yeah,
he's at the 3. The cat is at the 1-yard line.
All right. We're going to step away, pay some bills. When we return, we'll address this whole Astros situation, because it continues to get bigger and bigger. Hopefully we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out when we get back. Gwen and Chris, 97.3, The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.